Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce you to the crew, guys. If you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back, Dr. Travis Yates, retired police major from the Tulsa Police Department. So thanks for being back on the show, Doctor. Also, Scott Steyert, you know, he is with Aero Precision at aeroprecisionusa.com, and of course has an excellent background in special forces. And with a little outfit called Delta. So a good deal. A shout out to our sponsors, Gauls, our title sponsor, Gauls.com. We also have ComplianceTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. We have AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor, and that's Scott's company. We have GunLearn.com, Medicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And yes, we're streaming over a million people on this live show right now. And TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Please check out our gear. It's rock bottom prices. We don't make a dime off of anything we sell. We want to keep the prices low for you guys. And also fishorlandobass.com. Zach has got a bass fishing charter at fishorlandobass.com. In the Orlando area. Check that out. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com. Same thing. And finally, our own Travis Yates on the show with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we talking about? Travis, I threw in an article that I didn't tell you about, but I figured, you know, since you wrote it, there was no need. I was holding it for you, and then you signed up for today's show. But we got politicians are creating chaos with these words, and you know what I'm talking about, and it's about ICE. And we're going to do our Minneapolis thing, get people caught up in what's going on in Minneapolis. We've also got Jacksonville firefighters, plural, arrested after a paintball attack hits a police cruiser. Are you kidding me? I was disappointed to see that. Body cam shows Chicago police officer shooting a bad guy in the back of the head. And this is another potential glove story, to where it likely would have been able to prevent this from happening. And yeah, the officer took a ride in a car and he shot the guy in the back of the head that was driving. Greenville Sheriff's Office determines deadly deputy shooting of a knife wounding suspect was justified. We have 10 officers. They are outed for cheating at the Mount Pleasant Police Department. And we got a video showing Miami-Dade deputy fatally shooting an armed suspect outside Walmart, but he did it when the suspect disengaged from him and was running away. We're gonna talk about that and about the justification of the shoot. And then finally, we have a woman armed with a knife fatally shot by a Grand Forks County Sheriff's deputy. So that's what we have. If you guys are ready, let's go in and get into the Minneapolis stuff. I tell you, there's stuff going on there every day. We had a wild show yesterday. It was a little bit of heated debate going on. So this one, the sources are lawofficer.com is our first source. And then we have numerous stories from them. We have the Liberty Daily, which is on Rumble, dailycaller.com, truesocial.com. And that is the Donald J. Trump page. So we're starting off with politicians are creating chaos with these words. And a few weeks ago, Travis said that he started noticing a dangerous trend online. I noticed it too. But Travis wrote this great article, police and border agents or ICE, they're saying that they're not law enforcement. And he goes on to say that just days after the trend started, the partner of Renee Good, remember the female, they said that was her wife, but ended up not being, she was heard on video saying that she couldn't believe ICE had real bullets. So we've got a rumor going around that they're not real cops. And then we got another, then we have somebody being surprised they've got real bullets. And after the second ICE shooting in Minneapolis, Governor Tim Walz repeated the claim that ICE was not law enforcement. So I've got other stories under the headline, but Travis, I thought we'd start off with this one and just talk about, you know, what's going on. And people are kind of, you know, if they hear enough, they're going to start thinking ICE isn't real, they're not real cops.
Yeah, you know, this is not unique. It's in the playbook, right? I mean, you can go back to 2020 when they, and what they do is they dehumanize groups of people. In 2020, they dehumanize police officers. They're brutal. They're Nazis. They're not this. They don't have this. And everyone decided they start attacking police officers. And it's ironic that ever since 2020, assaults on officers have increased every single year since that. And in fact, I cited a study in the article where it said, and this was a study they did in 2021, and they asked them, they said, you know, what's your political affiliation? And they ask him how many unarmed blacks were killed last year. And as you go across the political lines, the numbers changed. But what was striking was those that identified as liberal said that there were 10,000 blacks shot unarmed by police the previous year. The real number was 12. Okay. So, and what I've always said, and I cited that article, is that, listen, if I was a complete idiot, and I believe that, I'd probably be in the streets stealing TVs too. I mean, that's an outrageous thing to believe. Well, here we are, 2026, and it's the exact same playbook. The propaganda makes people believe certain things, and there's a segment of society that will react on that propaganda. That's why I think with these politicians, and it's not just the Twitter spirit saying it. Tim Walz has said it. Jacob Fry has said it. These politicians are saying publicly, and in fact, Walz said it after the second shooting, quit referring to them as ICE, is what he, as law enforcement, is what he said. The idea that ICE isn't law enforcement is insane. They all know they're law enforcement. They can enforce federal law. They know this. So why are they saying it? They're saying it because it's a trigger for crazy, insane people to act out and create chaotic scenes, which is exactly what's happening. And so it's hard to not see that and not understand how these shootings are not put on them as accountability. I mean, we've had none of these politicians in Minnesota say something like this. You can protest, it's your right, but do not confront law enforcement doing their job. It's dangerous. None of them will say that. Why won't they say that? Because they want them to act out. And it's really, I don't think many people's pointing this out. You cannot say they aren't law enforcement without knowing it's going to trigger people to go, well, they're just mass people kidnapping Americans. They're like Gestapo. They're like Nazis. So what do you do to Nazis? You fight Nazis. This is what is happening over and over and over again. And the reason we need to hold them accountable is because this is what they keep doing. They did it in 2020. They're doing it now. They'll do it later on. They'll keep doing it. And it's creating a real dangerous environment. I mean, Chip, if people don't understand what I'm saying, imagine the job you do. Maybe you're an accountant or maybe you work at Walmart. Every day when you try to do your job, there's 30 or 40 people driving their car around you, throwing stuff at you, screaming at you. You would not be able to do your job. That's the environment that this type of rhetoric has created. And so, yes, there's been shootings. Of course there has been. Everywhere they go is a dangerous environment. There's people bringing guns to these environments. And listen, I didn't even mention this in the article, but just a couple of weeks ago, the liberals were held in a photograph that was all over the internet of a guy standing in front of his house with an AR-15 saying he's protecting his neighborhood from ICE. And they were just praising this man, which I said at the time, you can't do that in front of law enforcement doing their job, because that's not just resistance now. That's an imminent threat. And if you do that, it's one thing to scream at a police officer, but if you scream at a police officer while you hold a gun, you're creating an imminent threat, which will create deadly force. And it was just 2 weeks after that, we started seeing these shootings. And so this has all been perpetrated by the politicians. So regardless of your political views, regardless of what you think about ICE, think about that environment that they've created. Of course, this is going to happen.
Yeah. And I wonder if Governor Walz and the mayor is going to be held accountable. There's no doubt. Like this is, it's just like you said, this is a playbook. This is what we would do if the CIA went and go to another country, sow unrest. Maybe it's in our interest, the U.S. interest, to kind of destabilize a government. This is what we do. This is a playbook. This is being orchestrated from, I guarantee you, there's outside influence orchestrating this. Guarantee it. Now, and I hope they collect that. So, but you said something very important. These idiots, you have to be an idiot. They're useful idiots. If only these people realize they're being played. Imagine this, because I thought about this, because I was like, man, they keep saying that ICE, you know, it's not a law enforcement. And then I Googled it. Yes, of course they are. Imagine if it was, say, I don't know, the FBI, U.S. Marshals, put any other federal government, you know, or federal law enforcement agency in that statement. Is it still okay? Is it okay to you know, go after when they're doing their job? They're literally, it's a law. It's a law. It's like these guys are doing it. So this is crazy. And these idiots, they're being played, and it's out of control. And I blame the freaking politicians, all these leaders. They're the ones, because these people, these useful idiots that are running around doing this, they think they have coverage from the top. It's not only do they think they have, you know, they're legally okay to do it. They think they're going to be okay and protected from the top, because that's what's been going on in Minnesota forever. Just look aside. Don't worry about the crimes. You know, as long as we're in power, as long as we're in office, they're going to vote for us. Let all this fraud, let all this. We've created an environment. It is bad. And I guarantee you, Minnesota is not the only state. And And yeah, so now we can't just stop, because then it's like, oh, mob rule. So in other words, you know, you start, you know, shooting people, threatening people, posting up people on federal agents as they come through. That's okay. So we can't leave this like it is. We set a precedent. So it's bad, man.
Well, it's really clearly a leadership issue, Scott, because it's absolutely only happened in Minnesota. I should say all across the country doing this. It's only happening there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's so obvious. So I hope they're going to do the right thing. I hope this sounds on so many levels.
All right, guys, it's time for our next commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
And now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And of course, you know, our favorite product is the glove, but they have other stuff too. You know, in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, their Eagle Protect nitrile gloves, they offer 4-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they actually eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. And they continue to kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, you can trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. You're going to learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to ComplianTechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, ComplianTechnologies/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. And when you go, make sure you watch those cool videos of the glove. They're absolutely amazing. ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. And we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And we've got Dr. and retired Major Travis Yates from the Tulsa Police Department, TPD. It sounds like my agency from Tampa. And then we have Scott Steyer with Aero Precision, also a former Green Beret and Delta Force member. Guys, we've been talking about Minneapolis. I have some other headlines that I want to throw in the mix real quick here before we continue. Minneapolis hotel protest that turns violent outside Home 2 Suites. And that video was almost as bad as the next one. Anti-ICE riders trashed a Minnesota hotel they believed ICE officers were staying at. And it was pathetic. Minnesota cops surrender an entire city or entire city blocks, plural, to lawless riders. That said, that the DCNF observed the crowd protesting at the hotel for more than 2 hours while blocking the road with debris. And the Minnesota State Police, they were about to encircle the group for arrest, but then the feds showed up, and they, without being asked to. And it says that they showed a clip, and they were saying, hey, where's the local PD, the Minneapolis police? That's what an armed federal agent shouted while guarding the Minneapolis hotel, and he's bleeding from his face and his hands because the local cops aren't there to help him out. And but they will send him out into the scene if there's a shooting by the feds, because they want to go in and seize the scene, grab the evidence and stuff for potential prosecution of our federal partners. The DCNF only saw one local police officer on the scene at the hotel lobby, which I'm assuming he was working off duty. And a day prior, riders used trash cans, dumpsters, chairs, and other debris to form a barricade around an intersection on Saturday night, creating a law enforcement free zone reminiscent of Seattle, Washington's Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, or called CHAZ, back in 2020. And, you know, yeah, we're not done yet. Then we've got, it says, pro tip, when law enforcement throws a bang or a flashbang near you, don't pick it up and try to throw it back. I don't know if you guys saw the video, but that was priceless. MVS is talking about over in Rummel right now. We got Governor Tim Walz calling the president. So Tim Walz called the president. The president said on True Social that it was a good call, and they seem to be on a similar wavelength. I know that the president's changing his strategy in Minnesota right now. I don't know if it's solely because of the call or not. And then we got Minneapolis Police Chief O'Hara saying that it doesn't matter if the shooting was justified. He says that the city has reached a dangerous tipping point, warning the public anger over the recent federal involved shootings. He says it's so intense that a legal justification that comes later on through the court may not be enough to calm the streets. So that's what he's saying. Travis?
Yeah, first I want to address one of your commenters here named Mary. She says, it sounds like you think January 6th is a peaceful protest. This is the brain loss that Scott and I are talking about. What is what we're talking about have anything to do with January 6th? January 6th was violent. 2020 was violent. This is violent. So you got to step away from CNN and MSNBC and just think about this. You cannot look at the images in Minneapolis and try to go, yeah, but January 6th, what are you talking about? And it makes no sense whatsoever. I don't even know what your question was, Chip. What was the question?
No, I was just asking you to give commentary. I just went through all the other articles, including the one about the female that picked up the flashbang. And then she's running through the crowd with her hand in the air.
The whole thing is just insanity. And the idea that nobody from a leadership position is telling people, stop rioting, stop attacking law enforcement. They're saying the opposite. They're encouraging it. And so, listen, I know Walz called Trump, but Walz is never going to do what Trump said. Trump said, I will pull out the Border Patrol because they are having to assist ICE because of the crowd. So I'll pull out Border Patrol if you, A, give me your current prisoners in state custody that are illegal immigrants. Give us to them so we can deport them the way the law says. And B, your local police will cooperate with us when they arrest an illegal immigrant. We can come pick them up and deport them as the law says. Walz will never do that, because he cares more about the chaos than he does actually solving it. So that's all for naught. And Trump should not back down. This is a crime.
Yeah.
This is a crime that has been on the books for decades. The same politicians moaning about this are the ones that passed the law on illegal immigration. I mean, Trump's got nothing on Barack Obama. I mean, he deported over 3 million people during his tenure. And who did he use to do that, Chip? Oh, that's right. He used ICE. Nobody seemed to care, because people lose their minds when they see the propaganda, and the propaganda wasn't there then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Excellent point. You know, when there's things they could do, they can invoke a curfew and an enforceable curfew. They're not doing it. And I mentioned on yesterday's show that they can even have prohibited by city ordinance in Minneapolis from wearing facial coverings, things to disguise yourself when you show up in public, but they're not doing that either. So yeah, I agree with you, Travis. They're absolutely love what's going on, and it helps take the distraction. The governor certainly loves it, because it's taking the distraction of the Somali, you know, corruption off of his shoulders, because he's not in the limelight anymore. He's making sure that ICE stays in the limelight.
Well, he's being investigated criminally for that. He knew about that and didn't do anything about it. In fact, that's the only reason he's not running again. In fact, he's liable to have to resign based on that. But you're right, that's sort of delaying all that and keeping that out of the headlines. Although it's not in the mainstream headlines, it's just in the headlines of
it doesn't fit the name. And let's not forget, if the last president didn't let in, I don't know, I've heard anywhere from 10 million to 30 billion illegal immigrants, probably wouldn't be doing this anyhow. It's probably not even necessary. But I mean, somebody's got to do it. I mean, it's like, what do you expect? I mean, these people are here. It has to be done. You have to remove them, because it's a drain on our society. You can't handle it.
Well, take a step back from all this. What are the two issues that the left has gotten completely lost their mind about in the last 12 months? Fraud, Doge, fraud, and illegal immigration. That's what they focused on in the last 12 months. So consider why. Well, fraud is their power for money, and immigration is their power for voting bloc.
Well, that they need the immigrants there in order to get the welfare systems to abuse and become rich. Because I think that's why it was the Somalis. I mean, it's because, you know, they're playing on the niceness of American, like, we're very given people, and they come in there. And then, of course, you have the politicians that are going, oh, wait a minute. And I can have power. You know, yeah. I mean, I got these people are guaranteeing that they're gonna rally the troops. They're gonna vote for me. I just gotta line their pockets and make them happy. And they look the other way.
Well, great timing, Scott. Time for our second commercial break, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about Scott's favorite subject, long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the air builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they already hit the market at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, but now they're being tailored for the civilian customer, which means that now you guys can start getting your hands on the Primo stuff. And their AR-308M5, that platform is nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Again, AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Travis Shates, retired police major from the Tulsa Police Department, and also Scott Steyer, former Green Beret and Delta Force, and he also works for AeroPrecisionUSA.com. And I got something happened on the break, and I got confused, but now I'm back on track. So we're back from commercial break. They were giving some final words on what was going on in Minneapolis, and we decided to jump into a lawofficer.com story about Jacksonville firefighters being arrested after a paintball attack hits a police cruiser, but not while he's driving. It was stationary. And of course, if anybody knows anything about paintballs, it's a ball the size of what? Maybe a marble, and it's synthetic, and it pops. It's got, you know, some kind of stained, paint in it or whatever, paintball. So this Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, they arrest four fire rescue people from Jacksonville, and they say that they were partaking in a prank paintball war, and that it escalated to the point where it reached criminal misconduct, which I still find hard to believe. And according to the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, on December Monday, the 29th, 2025, we've got in the La Villa neighborhood, we've got an officer, he's driving, he sees multiple impacts on his patrol vehicle, and he stops to inspect the damage. He finds several green paint splatters on the marked unit, and then a civilian reported that their vehicle was hit in the same manner. So officers respond to the call. They locate, they're spending a lot of man hours looking at this for paintball. They locate multiple green paint splatters on the roadway and surrounding structures. It's just like the highlight for crime in Jacksonville. Ignoring an I-95 traffic sign and a one-way sign, a dumpster, and an abandoned building. I guess they all had, you know, paintball marks on them. Investigators believe that the paint was fired from a high-velocity launcher from an elevated position. You know, I doubt it's going more than 300 feet a second, like a BB or pellet gun. I don't know if I say it's high velocity. During the initial response, officers reported observing firefighters quickly. They ran to the fire station. They closed the doors. And then they questioned them. They found out about the prank war going on between fire stations. And they said it was a back and forth going on. And they said that evidence included 14 red and green paintballs that were found on the roof of the fire stations. They were up there playing sniper, I guess. And they had shields and all kinds of stuff up there. So anyhow, they did a big investigation. Firefighters were arrested on a misdemeanor charge of criminal mischief, which means that you're destroying property. And they were reassigned administrative duties during the internal investigation by the Jacksonville Fire and Rescue Department. And they interviewed Sheriff T.K. Waters and Chief Percy Golden Jr., who works for Fire Rescue. Scott Steyer.
This reminds me of an incident I did when I was a kid. I mean, this is something you would do as a kid. This is like, and I know that, you know, it was innocent, you know, but, and firefighters, they have a lot of downtime. This is what I know about firefighters. They get to hang out all day, work out, you know, clean their gear over and over again, you know, and then go out and do something great. Right. But they have a lot of downtime. You know, it was bad decision making. Completely harmless. I can't believe this has been made into such a big deal. I can understand them being punished at some level internally. I think this could have been taken care of internally. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's very immature and childish at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, I think before the citizens jump up and go, you need to hold these public safety people accountable. You're watching YouTube videos tonight of people doing similar stuff. Okay. Let's just get off your high horse, right? This is just horseplay. This is what guys do to other guys, right? It's the whole police fireman, back and forth. And listen, what I hope is this shouldn't affect these guys' careers long term. This was a mistake in the moment. I hope for goodness sake that they don't have to look back at this 10, 20 years and go, I lost my entire career over this. So I don't know. I'm kind of surprised it went criminal. I'm saying there's probably a lot of things you could have done that would have hurt them worse than going criminal, right? Because there's a lot of dirty things that firemen may have to do that they could put on those guys for a few years. My son's a fireman, so I understand that. He does clean a lot, Scott. He starts, stuff like that. I think he makes his bed when he gets there. But you know what I mean? So this was surprising because when I think back of all of the horseplay that maybe or maybe I wasn't involved in my career, this is kind of nothing. Like, I can remember a guy opening his car with a bunch of snakes in it before, right? Because he made the mistake of telling his coworkers he was scared of snakes. Well, that was all you got to tell a bunch of cops is you're scared of snakes and you're going to get snakes the rest of your career. So this is kind of par for the course. I don't know whether a civilian's car getting hit created this, because that's obviously a problem. A civilian wants to file charges. But I would certainly hope that the police would have a little bit of thicker skin and, we just get them back and wouldn't get caught.
Yeah, I agree. I'm disappointed to see the criminal component on this thing. I'll be surprised if it makes it through the state attorney's office. I hope they're sharper than that. So, but guys, moving along, I've been waiting to get to the story. So let's get to this one. We have yet another cop getting drugged by a car, and I can't believe it. We had one yesterday. So at rumble.com, this is Butter, is the channel, our favorite law enforcement video channel. We got body cam shows Chicago police officer shooting Roberto Calaverio Jr., but in the back of the head.
Hey, stop right there. Stop right there. Hey, stop. 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 Stop.
Let me get an ambulance over here.
Stay right there.
And there's multiple videos on this. I think the second one almost shows more than the first one does, which is the first one is the cop wearing the body cam when he's getting drugged. It's kind of hard to tell what's going on. But Chicago police say that a 20-year-old guy was shot and killed. They later identified him as Roberto Cavallaro Jr., and he allegedly tried to steal a car in the Arcadia Terrace neighborhood. And he had two other guys with him. We have Chicago police officers. So here's what happens. It's 10:30 at night, Tuesday, December the 9th. They're in a place called West Ridge, and the officers are doing an investigation. They're setting up on a stolen, unoccupied vehicle. So they're waiting to see who comes to get into the car. It's stolen. They probably ran the plate, and now they're sitting on it. So as the officers are watching the stolen vehicle, another car, sure enough, pulls up. It's a dark-colored sedan. It's got two dudes and a woman in it, and they pull up alongside the stolen car. So our bad guy, Calaverio, he gets out, and another guy get out, and they attempt to enter the stolen vehicle, and that's when the officers start moving in. Now, physical confrontation happens with Cavallaro, and police contend that the apprehending officer in question, they fired their weapon after the suspect attempted to speed off in the car. And police say that as officers tried to pull our bad guy from the car, he accelerated and dragged an officer. Now, this is the point where I think the glove would be a perfect tool, as long as you have skin, and we had skin. It says that the officer, while being dragged, he opened fires on the suspect, striking him shortly before the car crashes into an unoccupied vehicle. Later in the article, the family is complaining about, their son being, shot in the back of the head. So I'm assuming he got shot in the back of the head, and that it was effective because the car went on and it crashed and that was over. And attorney David B. Owens, he's representing the bad guy's family. And they don't like the fact that he was shot in the back of the head. I'm looking back at my, at my show notes and stuff. There are two videos, like I said earlier. The second one really shows the officer, getting dragged, and then the officer, after the fact, when he goes on the scene, and they take the bad guy out of the car. He's losing it. I mean, he's losing it. And I was waiting for someone to get him and just set him down and get him to calm down, you know, because he's running around like a chicken with his head cut off. It was very traumatic for him. Scott, you want to take this one first?
Yeah. I mean, what did the guy think was going to happen? I mean, it's unfortunate. The officer was in fear for his life. He could have easily been run over, it actually, when I watched it, I was like, what just happened? It was so fast.
I thought it looked like if he didn't get run over, it looked like that rear tire barely missed his leg when he let go and released after being dragged.
Yeah. It was a very fast evolving violent situation. It happened very fast. And the officer did, you know, he was, in my opinion, he was 100% justified in doing that. He was protecting himself. He was fast. He was fast to think. It's unfortunate that it happened, but you know, we don't know who's in there. Cops they don't know that guy. And he did. I saw there was a pistol in his waistband. I don't know if you saw that when they were doing the CPR and all that stuff. So, I mean, you know, you can't look into the future. You can't read any tea leaves. The officer was fighting for his life. So it's unfortunate because who knows, man, it could have been either a career criminal that was a piece of crap and he deserved what he got, or it could have been just some young punk trying to have fun. But at the end of the day, you know, you can't do that. And don't be so stupid. It's like, you know, if you do something, and it's just like all these protests, if you just comply, if you just don't fight, because if you're guilty, then, I mean, I have been confronted by cops many times and yes, sir, no, sir, hands up, never had a problem. Well, I did one time, but I deserved it. I fought the cops and I guess what? I lost. And
there is a huge disconnect. I'm not sure where it's at. Maybe it's they're listening to their friends or the politicians, but we've got to somehow stop putting the blame on police officers that are having to use force based on the actions of the suspect. You cannot do that and expect to be healthy afterwards. I don't know if they think that just can't happen or what, but I mean, we're seeing that a lot and it's just got to stop somehow.
Well, guys, commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about if the glove would have been useful in this one. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, here's the deal, the best deal. The founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, GunLearn.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Travis Shades, retired police major from the Tulsa Police Department, and Scott Steyert, a former Green Beret and Delta Force member, also with AeroPrecisionUSA.com. You know, we're talking about a story. I believe it was Chicago, if I'm not mistaken, and it's about a cop getting dragged, shooting the bad guy, the driver, in the back of the head. And I don't know how many shots. It could have just been one shot. Family's not happy. That's okay. We got a cop that's alive. Look, there are, we're not saying, we don't like cops getting dragged by cars because it can be avoided most of the time. But I'm not saying that there are not instances where it could happen, because there are. There are situations, maybe you've got kids in the back seat and someone's abducted the kid. You stop them and you have to go in the car and you're trying to get the kids out. And then something happens and the guy starts driving or whatever, you know, and you don't want to take him off with the kids. There's always ways things can happen legitimately. But I want to talk about the glove. We covered a story on yesterday's show. Travis and I just got hooked up with the glove from Compliant Technologies last week. And we would both testify. It was a wild ride, extremely effective. But what kind of a difference would it have made if that officer would have had maybe just one of two gloves on his hand when he was trying to extract that driver.
We don't see these shootings anymore. It's that simple. Obviously, you know, we took this ride last week, Chip, and I understood it was probably an effective tool because I've seen other tools in law enforcement that were effective. I had no idea this was the most effective tool that the profession could ever have. This ends at least half of all deadly force shootings today. It ends all these things we're seeing on a daily basis. The idea that this is not the most widely purchased and given out tool to law enforcement today is insanity to me. I cannot believe it that that's not happening. Quite frankly, I'm very frustrated by it. It concerns me that if we have leaders that do not see the value in this. Now, maybe they were like me and they didn't understand the value. I am telling you right now, I spent 30 years in this profession. Before that, my dad spent 27 years in this profession. Before that, my dad's father spent 25 years in this profession. I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you, there's been nothing like this. This ends all of these videos that we keep seeing that nobody likes. Use of force doesn't look good on video. It ends it. It ends it tomorrow. And so people need to really check it out.
You know, let's talk about that glove challenge to let people know what's going on. And we're going to try to do a better job. We've got just over a month before this will come to fruition. So right now there's a landing page. If you go to thewoundedblue.org and you look under the event section, you'll see it's a landing page. But really, it's a graphic. It doesn't say click here. So you have to click on the graphic. We're going to try to change some of that to make it a little bit more easy to understand. And when you go to the Wounded Blue, it says glove challenge, but it gives the dates of SHOT Show January 20 through the 23rd. And it kind of gives the impression that the contest is over, but it's not. So if you go there and you want to donate, here's how it works. And this is how you can win a pair of the gloves. They're valued about a little over $1,700 a pair, and you can win a pair. And the person that got gloved that made it the longest would be able to get a pair too. Now, they can't be owned by an individual, so it would have to go to an agency. But even if you're active and you work at an agency, you could donate them to your agency. They technically would own them, and you could be trained and carry them, assuming that your agency would let you. So the way it works, go to thewoundedblue.org, and under the event section, you'll find the glove challenge. Click on that. It takes you to a donation page. Make a donation to the Wounded Blue and either put Dr. Travis Yates' name or put my name, Chip the Block, when you make the donation. And then at the end of February, the end of next month, the people that filmed it and timed it, they're going to release who the, it's really, we're all winners on this thing. You know, the biggest winner is the Wounded Blue. But the person that lasted the longest will end up getting a pair of gloves. The person that lasted the longest without complying, I should say. And then the person that donates in that person's name the most amount of money, they will win a pair of the gloves as well. So it's a win-win. They're giving away two pair of gloves, and you can enter that contest, you know, right now by going to the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. Did I leave anything out, Travis?
No, that's it.
Yeah. So, and I think that during the 4 weeks or so before the announcements are made, they pick winners and stuff. We're going to be releasing little portions of video or freeze frames of the applicant. Cause we were being filmed, and I don't even know what my face looked like, Travis. I know what Travis's face looked like, but I don't know what my face looked like.
Chip was very manly here and said, I'll go first.
Dude,
I had to rethink watching. Go first before I did it.
So let me ask you, when you were stimulated, did you go into the fetal position? Like, you get hit and you go down. And what's cool is since you don't lose your motor skills, you still intuitively kind of break your fall. At least I do. Like I'll go down. I kind of break my fall, but I always end up in most everybody I see, they end up in a fetal position, and no one can understand why.
You know, with me. And I'm going to be careful how much information we give out. But with me, Travis actually asked for a safe word, and which I thought was brilliant, right? And so and the safe word was stop. Okay, easy word, right? Easy, right? So whichever one of us shall stop, they release. Well, so when I went and they applied the glove, I'll be damned if I couldn't remember what the safe word was.
Your mind.
Gone out of my mind.
Yeah.
And
I was smart based on his chip. I knew Chip couldn't remember the word stop. So I said, okay, I've got a safe word. And if I raise my arm up, that's the backup safe word. And then when I got hit, I couldn't remember either one of them.
Yeah. Cause I didn't hear you say the safe word either, but I do remember your hand going up. And then I ended up on the floor. I didn't remember how I got on the floor. And I will tell you that, when I'm getting gloved, it was, they grabbed me on the wrist. I only felt it from the wrist down, but it's the weirdest thing. Everything like slows down. So I had this thing from my childhood when I was young and stupid. I used to take metal keys and put them in electrical outlets. And so what happens when you get shocked, you just like, oh, and you pull your hand away. But if you leave your hand like an electrical outlet long enough, you feel the pulsating of that electricity because it pulses. And that's what the glove did. It was held long enough for me to feel the pulsing, which I know Travis did too. And that's what in my head it popped. That's what popped into my head. And I didn't want any part of it, you know. But I couldn't remember the safe word. But I ended up on the ground and I rolled. When I watched the video, I put my hand down. I broke my fall. I rolled. I wasn't injured. I was worried about my left knee because I had surgery recently, and I was fine, you know. So. Yeah, it was so impressive. Yeah,
and I think that's one of the many benefits of using this is it doesn't use a lot of power just by the way it's designed. It doesn't have to go here and come create a circuit through your body, through fascia, through muscle, through fat. It doesn't have to do that, which takes a lot of electricity, right? If depending on where you're shot with, like this.
It's also, Scott, not considered a firearm, and the newest technology from the company we all know of. It's considered an actual firearm. So wait till the crazies use that against us.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of which, good luck trying to take the gloves off. So the likelihood of that getting into the subject's hands and them using it against you, it's very, very slim. I mean, so there's a lot of ploys. It's just like Travis said, it's the first thing I said when I saw this is like, oh my God, this is life-changing for officers.
Oh yeah. Every cop needs to have a pair of these. They're only a little over $1,700, so they are affordable. But especially when you think of what they're saving you in liability, and it protects bad guys' lives too. It's not just the good guys. If the bad guy doesn't have to get shot by a cop because he's being noncompliant, and the optics are good, a lot better than beating a guy with a expandable baton, a metal pole.
This, Chip. 91% of all officer involved shootings began with non-compliance.
If you
remove non-compliance from the situation with the glove, then you're not getting involved in the shooting.
Game changer.
And with very little training. It doesn't take a lot of training. Yeah. That's another thing. A lot of tools you have, it requires a lot of training in order to implement them correctly. This one's very little training because it's very intuitive. The biggest thing you have to learn is how not to touch yourself when you're dealing with things. Which is very hard to learn. It corrects itself pretty quick after a little bit, So.
With you. Well, guys, another great show. Thanks so much to Dr. Travis Yates from Tulsa Police Department. He also has travisyates.org and courageouspoliceleader.com. And also Scott Steyer, thanks for being on the show. I do want to talk about the Wounded Blue real quick. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in a world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. I support them monthly. If you guys are looking for an organization to support that's not going to embarrass you, please consider the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. Travis is even on the board of directors there. Travis, anything else you have going on that you want to take 10 seconds for real quick?
Nope, just get the website up. You can find out about the training and the articles and all that right there.
All right, guys, don't forget. And also, hey, please support our sponsors, guys. We have Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com. We have AeroPrecisionUSA.com, Gunlearn.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor, TwoBells.com, and FishOrlandoBass.com. And guys, thanks so much for watching the show. We appreciate it. Hope everybody has a wonderful and a safe week.